Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about why strength wins, maximal strength, and its predictive power over muscle endurance. Muscle endurance is the ability to repeatedly apply submaximal force. Muscle endurance is directly tested in CrossFit in a variety of combinations and movement patterns. And maximal strength appears to have significant predictive power over muscle endurance above 40% of 1RM. This was demonstrated in a study that tested and compared bench press 1RMs to the results of a muscle endurance test, which was benching 40 kilos as many times as possible in 40 seconds. Performance in that muscle endurance test depended on maximal strength, body weight, and maximum power, all of which are closely related. So the researchers concluded that the goal of a muscle endurance training program should be first to increase maximum strength until the specific load you're trying to lift is less than 40% of your 1RM. Only then should training shift to improving muscle endurance in that specific task. Okay, so key here is the percent of 1RM of the contraction that you're trying to repeat. Percent of 1RM or percent of maximal power. So those are the key variables, and we're going to look at six different examples of how this might map onto CrossFit. The first, repeated heavy Olympic weightlifting. Okay, so this is cleans at 315 pounds. This has been tested directly in CrossFit workouts, both online and in person. So we have athlete A who has a 1RM clean of 335 pounds. We have athlete B who has a 1RM clean of 400 pounds. So if these two athletes are racing in a test of 315 cleans, for athlete A, it's 94% of their 1RM, and for athlete B, it's only 78% of their 1RM. So we're starting with a pretty obvious example. Athlete B would outperform athlete A in that repeated heavy Olympic weightlifting test. Now we're going to look at some less obvious examples. So the strict handstand pushup. So both athletes have a body weight of 195 pounds. Athlete A has a max strict press of 240 pounds, and athlete B has a max strict press of 205 pounds. So for athlete A, one strict handstand pushup is 81% of their 1RM, and for athlete B, it's 95% of their 1RM. So in this test, athlete A would outperform athlete B, even though it is a quote-unquote body weight test. Similarly, in this next example, we have body weight pull-ups. So both athletes weigh 150 pounds. Athlete A has a weighted pull-up of 200 pounds. Athlete B has a weighted pull-up of 225 pounds. So for athlete A, a single body weight pull-up is 75% of their 1RM. For athlete B, a pull-up is only 67% of their 1RM. So we're still well above the 40% threshold, above which strength is strongly predictive of muscle endurance test performance. So if the study results replicated, athlete B would outperform athlete A, even though it is a quote-unquote body weight test. So now what happens when we move the percent of maximal power, percent of 1RM closer to that 40% threshold? So let's take box jump. So we have athlete A who has a max box jump of 48 inches, and we have athlete B who has a max box jump of 53 inches. Now, if we have them race in 24-inch box jumps, for athlete A 24-inch box jump is 50% of their maximal power. For athlete B, it's 45% of their maximal power. So this test would be approaching the 40% threshold where the predictive power of maximal power and maximal strength is becoming less likely. Next, we have wall balls. So this is not something that athletes typically test, but max wall ball height would be a direct measure of your maximal power in the wall ball. So if you took the same 14 or 20 pound wall ball and you did the same squat pattern and you threw it as high as you could, that would be your Pmax or maximal power. So let's say athlete A has a max wall ball height of 30 feet and athlete B has a max wall ball height of 35 feet. In this case, a 10 foot wall ball is 33% of maximal power for athlete A and only 28% of maximal power for athlete B. Now, because they are below the 40% threshold, athlete A may have a chance in this muscle endurance test, even though they have less maximal power than athlete B. Finally, we have front squats. So squat racing is showing up all the time in CrossFit competitions ever since the very beginning of CrossFit. So we have athlete A who has a 1RM front squat of 300 pounds, and athlete B who has a front squat of 400 pounds. So we have them race in 100-pound front squats. For athlete A, it's 33% of their 1RM. For athlete B, it's 25% of their 1RM. So again, we are below the 40% threshold at which maximal power and maximal strength have strong predictive power over who can do more reps faster. So athlete A likely has a chance in this muscle endurance test if his muscle endurance training status is more advanced. Okay, so below the 40% threshold, the researchers started to see variability in muscle endurance test performance. One rep max or maximal power were both not sufficient to predict which athlete would get more reps like they were above 40%. So above the 40% threshold, again, this is 40% of 1RM, strength appears to matter more than muscle endurance training status. So what does this mean for CrossFit athletes? If you are constantly confronting loads in workouts that are greater than 40% of your 1RM, you might be able to perform better in CrossFit by just getting stronger. This applies to the vast majority of aspirational CrossFit athletes. They are often encountering contractions that are greater than 40% of their 1RM, often significantly greater than 40% of their 1RM. And the pull-up is a perfect example of this. You see lots of CrossFit athletes or aspiring CrossFit athletes who are wanting to be more enduring in their pull-ups, and they are working the crap out of their technique and working the crap out of their muscle endurance, and they're seeing very marginal improvements. When if they had just bumped up their one rep max weighted pull-up, they would see those numbers fly up a lot easier. So there's lots of reasons to prioritize strength. This is just one of them. Another one is the concurrent training effect, which dictates that the more conditioning you do, the more your strength and power gains will be attenuated. So I see this a lot with CrossFitters where they are doing a ton of conditioning volume. They're imitating games athletes who, by the way, are training that way because they're already strong. And when they're training that way, they're not making meaningful gains in their strength. They might be maintaining their strength or making very, very slight improvements in their strength when they're training 4 to 6 hours a day. Anyways, imitating games athletes and training with those conditioning volumes and then getting really conditioned but failing to get stronger or make meaningful gains in their strength. So the concurrent training effect is one reason that you want to prioritize strength first, because it only works one way. Once you are strong enough, it does not work against your endurance adaptations. So you can maintain your strength pretty well and become a lot more enduring. It only works to attenuate your strength gains. That's one of the other reasons to prioritize strength first. The other reason is the residual training effect of strength is as long or longer than any other physiological attribute. So you retain it for a very long time. So it makes sense to prioritize early in the competitive career and early in the competitive season. Okay, so this is just another reason to prioritize strength in your training, because it has a strong predictive power over muscle endurance test performance above 40% of 1RM. Hope you guys found this helpful. Hope this helps you guide your training for maximal long-term development and career achievement. My general advice is to prioritize strength first for all of those reasons. Thank you guys for listening. If you are tuning in and on a podcast platform, please rate the podcast and share it with a friend. If you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe, and I will see you guys in the next episode.